Hey, it's the music. It's Thursday night, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the Tree Hugger. And it's that time again. All right. Break one open. All right. There's one for everybody. We'll get going here in just a sec. Man, I'm beat. I have the clone has gone on his first big trip away from home. He's with the middle school band. They went down to Walt Disney, and I don't know what great idea they came up with, but we had to take the kids down and have them at the school at 11:30 last night, right? And I guess they just drove through the night, and then they dropped the kids off out at Disney World. They have some performances and stuff, but I'm beat. 11:30 is way past the tree hugger's bedtime. Joining me here on Buzzards Row, Mark Wheeler. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, buddy. I'm kind of dragging here, man. I was up until midnight last night with the clone, getting him on the bus to Disney World with his buddies, and holy cow, man. And I know he's going to be beat when he gets back. He's coming back home on Sunday. So, how's the weather up there? It's like you guys winter now, right?
Cloudy right now, but the weekend should be as snotty as what it's looking at right now. 40% chance on Saturday and Sunday, and now they're calling for 20%.
Oh.
So, still going to get out there. Still going to get on them. Hopefully.
All right. So, I went down to Jensen Beach last weekend for the DOA paddlers event. What a great time that was. It was pretty awesome. They were at River Palms Cottages Resort there on the Intercoastal Waterway. The entry fee for the tournament, they had they usually cap it at 100. There were 123 people signed up this year. I guess they let a few extras in, and so you show up to the captain's meeting. They give you a tackle box. It's basically, you know, like a Plano box, you know, like a 3600 size box, and it's got all kinds of stuff in it, you know. The shad and twitch bait, shrimp, hooks, jig heads, everything the DOA makes, a couple of each, you know, kind of a little combo. Not everything they make, but enough, and some different colors and all. And that puts everybody on the same playing field, man, like, except if you're a local and you know where all the good spots are. But, we went out. Yak Sushi is already taking away my thunder in the chat room there. So we get out, you know, we hit the water. Well, when we got to the spot we were going to holy cow, the wind was howling, man. I mean, there's thunderstorms the night before. We get up, you know, safe, our line's in the water at 6:30, so we're out there about 5:30. Getting set up. You remember Jean McElroy? She joined us down at the Boondoggle. She was there. And so I'm tagging along with her crew. We get to this spot, put in. It's just howling. But one of the guys got his truck stuck in the parking area. So we're screwing around, getting that thing unstuck. By the time we got it unstuck, I could feel that the wind had started to shift. So we're like, you know, if we pack the boats back up, it's going to take us another hour to get back in the water at another spot. So I said, let's go ahead and see if we can get out. There was kind of a section of land there that we could have got up behind and hid, you know. So we were all, okay, we'll hit the water and we'll head over that way. That way there we'll be protected. You know, you could see the water was kind of flat behind there. And we paddled out, you know, paddled maybe 50 meters, and the wind just died. Water started laying down flat. Bait starts popping everywhere. I mean, there weren't any real big fish, but there was a lot of little trout. You know, I caught a bunch of dinks and stuff. But and then a couple of dolphins showed up, and everything went and hid. But later on in the evening, we check in. I don't have anything for the leaderboard. The first prize was a PA 14, the old pro angler, and they had a bunch of ocean kayaks sitting out on the lawn, you know, and a bunch of raffle items. So they started doing a raffle after they announced who the winners were. And I was Gene and a couple other folks and telling them about the 303 protectant, you know. Mad raffle skills. Well, it seems like they get done with everything. I ain't won jack. I'm getting ready to tear up my ticket, you know. I'm like, damn, my mojo must be gone. I'm going to be like Austin Powers, you know, looking for my mojo.
Right.
And Jean starts laughing. She goes, "He just called your number." And I wasn't paying attention, so I didn't know what they call my number for. So I walked up to the front, you know. I said, "What'd I win, this box of tickets?" It's like, yeah, you won a box of tickets. And then Jerry McBride, the guy from DOA, he comes over and he goes, "All right, come on, everybody, we're gonna get you some pictures taken with your kayaks." And so I won a Prowler 13, man.
Awesome.
Is that sick or what? I mean, so I can't catch fish to go in on the leaderboard, but if there's a raffle for a kayak or something like that, man, I can win that. But anyways, Mr. Mitchell, I'm going to make you go live here if you want to talk. So are you there? Hello? I think he's just listening. Push 1 if you want to talk at any time, and I'll let you go live. All right. So let's see who's in the chat room. Bonita Bob, Mr. Condor, there's Pop, LGB. Got a couple of guests. Hey, if you're a guest and you want to participate in the chat room, sign in with your Facebook page. That's the easiest way to do it. Come back to Kayak Fishing Radio /live, and then refresh the page, and you should pop right in with your little username there from Facebook. Works out pretty good. So who else? Got a couple of guests. There's Hammerhead, Mitchell Dorsey, Mr. Scott there from Irish Water Dogs, Chris, BB Javichick joining us, and the Yak Sushi himself. So that's there. We're waiting on our special guest for the evening. All right. So what else are we talking about in here? LOL, the barge. You said it. I like my Prowler. So, yeah, I got a new Prowler 13 for sale, if anybody's interested. Never been in the water. It was nice, man. Jerry loaned me a couple of straps. I just pushed the Native over to the side and strapped that baby right up on the Jeep. I didn't take – I'll tell folks now, if you're going to go down to the DOA Paddlers event, don't take a trailer. Just not a whole lot of room to put a trailer in there. And this may be the man. Area code 850. You're on the air.
Hey, Chip, it's Brad.
Brad, how are you, man?
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
All right, dude. You get all your homework done?
Got all my homework done, so time to relax.
Now it's time to relax. All right. Well, welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. Glad you could join us tonight. And welcome to Buzzard.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
We're going to spend a little time chatting with you and running you through the third degree. But
that's what I'm best at. I excel at that.
Excel at that? All right. You're like a Jeopardy player, man. We'll give you some questions, see if you can answer them.
I'm just a really good liar.
Okay. That's good. You should have been a lawyer, man, not a bait shop owner.
Exactly. So.
So, folks, this is Brad Stevens of Sunjammers Water Sports in Panama City, Florida. If you're one of his crew in there and as a guest, you can the easiest way to log in is with Facebook page. Are you in the chat? Can you see the chat room, Brad?
Not yet. I'm still trying to get logged in. I got kicked outside for a little while until all the kids went to sleep, so I'm trying to connect right now.
Okay. All right. Because folks could use questions. There's a bunch of guests. I saw that there were some folks there from Panama City that were going to tune in and join us tonight. A couple of new ones right now. Timorish, and I think there's Benita Bob, Chuck. All right. So if you're a guest, hit the login. Use your Facebook page. That's the easiest way to get on. If you get kicked out again, make sure you got cookies enabled, or it won't let you join up on kayakfishingradio.com/live. That'll bring you in, and you can chat. And we try to keep it kid friendly on the air, but sometimes they do get a little in the chat room and a little rude. VB Java Chick, that's Chris Lally. Brad, you're
Yeah.
Water Sports, man, located in Panama City. How long you been there?
We've been here since '99.
1999, man. Are you a native or?
Yeah, I'm actually. We figured this out today. I think we're the fourth generation live in our county here.
Wow, that's awesome, man. And I'm a native too. I haven't got back yet. And the clone is a native. He was born in Pensacola, and I was out of Miami. Dad,
Miami now has turned into basically Southern New York. It seems like.
I mean. But my pop's in there. He was born Hialeah also. So, but
we're
South Floridians. So Panama City, the Sun Jammers. How did that work? How did that come about? How did Sun Jammers start? I mean,
it started. I grew up racing catamarans. You know, Hobie Cats, and I started a beach service. I just thought it'd be fun to just hang out on the beach all day and play. Much so I realized that's a tremendous amount of work. Actually at the Miami Boat Show, I think in 98, and we flew down every year with my family, and just walked into the Hobie booth, and I said, I want to be a Hobie dealer, and they were like, okay. So I was like, seriously? They were like, yeah, go get your parents. I was 16 or 17, and I went to my parents, and it pretty much the rest of it's history. They literally forced me to buy 12 Hobie kayaks, my initial sailboat order, and I was like, I'll rent these things or something. It's a means to an end for me. And this is one of the best things I ever did was take those kayaks.
Yeah. Wow.
Because now sailing is a very, very small portion of our business. You know, we still do a good business with sailboats, Hobie Cat parts online, shipping them all over the country. But, you know, kayak fishing is where our focus is 100% of the time.
And that was going to be my follow-up. And so how did it transition from the sailboats to the kayaks? Was it just a natural progression or?
Yeah, you know, it's never really planned for it to happen. It's just, you know, as kayaking got popular, you know, we started giving it more and more store space. And then as the fishing got popular, you know, we started, you know, obviously catering towards that. And I grew up fishing as well. And then, you know, with the addition of the bait and tackle, it brought in a bunch of power boaters that would have never came in and looked at a kayak. So while they're in there getting their live shrimp or whatever, you know, we take a little bit too long counting. And they're forced to look around, and we turned a lot of power boaters into kayakers.
Yeah, man, you know, it's like the barkeep, you know, that a 20 for a $2.49 bill, you know, and you hand him back all his change in ones, right? Because you know it's easier to get a tip that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to recount these shrimp for you. Take a look at that kayak over there. So, in the store itself, I mean, so evidently you started off with Hobie, but what brands do you carry now?
We have Hobie, Wilderness are our top two brands. Recently, we brought in Native Watercraft. Since we're already with Confluence, we decided to bring in some of the Perception products, Ocean Kayak, and then our little hidden sleeper lately has been the new canoe. it was kind of a, it filled a small void. We get absolutely amazed at how many people, you know, are coming in, you know, for the new canoe. It's really absolutely mind boggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark and Chris had the guy from New Canoe on the other night or a couple nights back, and pretty interesting stuff. And you know, I've seen the boat with through the Yak Angler guys, and it's a pretty cool boat. We don't have any prejudices here on Kayak Fishing Radio. We don't we talk about all boats equally.
Yeah, you know, people are surprised when they come in our store. You know, we sometimes recommend boats for anglers that we don't even sell. You know, believe it or not, we wear the kayak fishing hat. And, you know, if we want to sell you on the sport of kayak fishing, and if we're fortunate enough to have the boat in stock that's perfect for you, that's just a bonus. And, you know, everybody thinks that's just a big front, a big smoke screen, but it's the honest truth. You know, if we want to sell you the right boat, just not a boat.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. You know, that's what we tell people when they're asking us questions about, well, how do I get started, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, the beautiful thing about kayak fishing is that it's relatively inexpensive. And if that's the way you want to start, relatively inexpensive, then, you know, find you a decent little boat and get out there and fish. It's that easy.
Absolutely. The native redfish 10 and 12 are probably the best starting kayaks on the market. They're super stable. They're super easy to outfit. They aesthetically look really good, and it's made by, you know, a great company, you know, that really has a passion for, you know, helping people getting started.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys, if somebody comes in and say they want a boat, you got a place for them to demo it, or how's that?
Yeah, not on site, we don't. I wish our last location was actually right across the street from the water, so it was an easy, you know, hey, we'll just take it across the street. That property became too valuable. It's now a parking garage. At our current location, we're about a five-minute drive to Lake Powell, which is where we do most of our demos. We'll take, you know, three or four models down there, and, you know, you got, you know, half hour, however long it takes. You know, once you're down there, they're all private demos. I've done the big demo day things before.
Right.
I'm not crazy about them. Nobody gets the time, the one-on-one time they deserve at those things, because it's just mad chaos. You know, you'll have 500 or 600 people show up at the beach to demo, you know, 30 kayaks. It's just, you know, you're putting flags up. I pretend like I was in the rental, you know, a rental fleet, you know, flags up, come back to the beach, and it just wasn't fun. So we opted to do the one-on-one private demos. You know, that way you can actually take the time to fit somebody to the boat.
Cool. And you do those just about any time, or you'd probably rather have somebody call you and say, hey, I'd like to demo boats, right?
Yeah, we like to know ahead of time. Like tomorrow morning at 10, I got, you know, two different groups that we're gonna demo together. You know, they'll be private demos, but, you know, we like to know ahead of time if we can. But every now and then somebody's standing in the door and they're like, man, this Mirage Drive, it looks like it'd be cool. The videos look great. All my friends have them. They look great. But, man, I just need to try it. I'm like, you got your swimming trunks?
Yeah,
you know, we do them on the spot significantly more.
That's cool.
Yeah, it looks like Yak Sushi. Yes, we do let people rent kayaks. We even rent Mirage Drives. And if you buy, we apply 100% of your rental into the purchase of the boat if you buy within a week after your rental.
That's cool. Yak Sushi, that's Mark Watanabe from yakangler.com.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's cool that do the rental, because we tell folks a lot of times, you know, you can look all you want, read all you want, because on yakangler.com there's lots of there's lots of reviews on different boats and people talking about boats, and quite a few of the guys that write for the, you know, for the blogs are, you know, either a Jackson or Native, or, you know, and some of our broadcast hosts or pros for some of the kayak manufacturers. And the big thing is you got to get in the boat and play with it. And a lot of people, I mean, just going out and paddling around, that's cool. But sometimes I think if you're really coming down to a hard decision, like, do I want a Native Mariner 12.5 Propel, or do I want a Hobie Mirage? I think you're probably going to need to rent them and maybe go fish with them a little bit, maybe for the day. What do you think?
I wholeheartedly agree. All of our demos, we encourage people, you know, to bring a rod and reel, or if they can't bring it, you know, if they're on a lunch break or something, we take them. You know, you need to demo it. You need to cast out of it. What's good for you may not be good for me, and vice versa. That's why there's so many different brands on the market, and the majority of them have a niche. Now, granted, some of them compete directly with one another, but I don't think any one boat is that far superior to the next for 100% of the audience.
You're right. I mean, and I'm sure you see it more than most folks, but you sell a lot of boats, and you sell a lot of boats, different types of boats, because if you didn't, you probably wouldn't have all those different brands in your shop, would you?
No, not at all. You know, if I could just pick one brand and three models and two colors, life would be so much simpler. you know, it's fortunately, native and Confluence out of the Carolinas, so it's kind of you know, cheap freight getting to us, so we don't have to order as many. Hobies come out of San Diego, California. One, they're a week, you know, they're a week out by the time they get loaded on a semi. We order them in typically blocks of 60. So I have to basically pick my next 60 colors and models. I have to guess what you guys are going to want before they ever come in-house. Because, let's face it, if you come in and you need a Papaya Pro Angler, and I go, I ain't got it, I might be able to talk you into a Dune, but there's no way I'm switching you to an Olive, you know. And you got to have it in stock, because if you don't have it, and somebody else, you know, within 6 hours has it, they're going to get that sale. So we try to stock a lot of inventory.
Oh, man. So what is the best color? What is the favorite color of the month?
This year it's been a Pro Angler, or the Pro Angler's been our hot model, but Papaya Pro Anglers, actually. Everybody's concerned about safety, and obviously they should be. And that is a bright color on the water. What we've been telling people for years, and we finally proved it by having some T-shirts printed and giving them to people, the color T-shirt is as important or more important than the color hull of the kayak you're in, because that's what you see. You know, that boat running, you know, across the down, I'm talking, you know, I'm sure lakes and everything's different, but in our environment here on the coast, and even especially in the Gulf, you rarely see the hull of the boat. You see a white T-shirt on the water, or our safety T-shirts that we have. They're that bright fluorescent green, and that's what you see before anything else, typically, where you see a carbon Visi flag sticking up over the, you know, on the horizon. Everybody gets so hung up on what color hull is the safest, you know. It's, you know, do you want the helicopter to see? Do you want the boat to see? You know, what are you wanting to see? There's entirely too many variables. Pick your favorite color, because the fish don't care what color kayak you're in. And get a bright color T-shirt on and a safety flag, and you're more than likely going to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in the water, splash.
Yes.
In the water.
We had a Coast Guard guy tell us that robin egg blue is the most visible color from a helicopter.
Yeah, I was just going to say something about that, because you know that ice color that Native had. I picked up a 12-foot Ultimate for my son, and I love that thing because it doesn't take me 2 seconds to do a quick scan, and I can pick up that ice blue on the water in a heartbeat.
Mm. Yep. It's, you know, and everybody's like, man, white shows up really good on the water, you know, until you get a bunch of white caps. You get up in a helicopter looking for a boat floating, and there's little white dots all over the water. So white's probably not the best visible, but it shows up great on the horizon if you're in a boat running around. That's why the dune is a very popular color as well for Hobie.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's in colors. It's Papaya this year. I don't know why. It's our number one selling color across the line. The Revo 11, we can't keep in stock in Papaya hardly.
Everybody loves that boat, huh?
That's a little rocket ship. In fact, we just had someone on our Facebook page. I think I didn't have a chance to really look at exactly who it was. I think they bought it from us yesterday afternoon, and they were commenting about what a little rocket ship it is.
And the pedal boats are pretty sweet there in Panama City. And I think it's – you guys got a nice little reef structure just right off the beach there. I know that there's a Captain Linda Cabot that takes advantage of it every chance she gets.
Oh, yeah. you can get in some very good bottom fishing here within a mile, mile and a half of the beach. And then there's a lot of spots even closer. And out on the what we call the west end of the beach, the Phillips Inlet area, mm-hmm. it's a lot of live bottoms, live rock bottoms. So everybody's like, man, I need numbers. I was like, if I can give you a GPS number, it doesn't mean the fish are going to be there today. You know, you just need to get in that general area with a good bottom machine, troll for kings while you're looking around, hit that man overboard button every time you see a good old structure. When you're tired of trolling for kings, go back and drop you a bait down and hang on.
And it just seems like a lot of fun. I've yet to get down there to see you guys and fish with you, but it looks like a lot of fun. I know Linda and Sam there from Georgia Kayak Fishing, he seems to have moved to Florida now. I think he's over.
I think he's relocated down here.
He's definitely relocated. But how about fishing gear? You guys, what do you carry for fishing gear and stuff for folks? Or are you just doing boats?
No, we do. We're a full blown bait and tackle shop as well. As far as like inshore rods, we have very few people throw bait casters around here, so we're really heavy on spinning rod selection, which is something we're working on changing. We're actually going to try to hit the freshwater market this next season extremely hard. But saltwater is what we do because it's what we personally do. The TFO tactical rod is our number one selling rod in-house. And we have the full run of the top shelf Shimano rods, and these outsell the Shimano rods 4-1 in our store. It's amazing. Once you pick up, a TFO tactical rod, they're super lightweight, super sensitive, and everybody likes them. You know, they got that Gary Loomis name on them, and it's our number one selling rod, and we've been pairing them with CI4. The Stratic 3000s has been the go-to bait with a Berkley nanofill and about an 8 or 10-pound Berkley, and that seems to be our go-to inshore for 90% of our customers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
We ordered some sustains. I can't say that. I don't like sustains. I can't hardly say the sustain properly. We ordered some of those in on special order for some people today. And I think it's going to be a reel we're going to stock because they're really nice, really nice reels.
Cool. All right. What about stand-up boards? I've seen a lot of folks playing with them down around your place.
A lot of people playing with them. That's been a hard market for us to personally capture. It's the recreational side of stand-up paddleboard is almost impossible for me to break into, probably because we don't focus on it. And the native VersaBoard's been our top seller as far as fishing stand-up paddleboards. It's priced right. They're extremely durable. The little tag-along wheel on the back of it that we all made fun of until we actually used it one day takes the weight of that board right out of the equation. Super stable. I fished on it. In fact, that's all I fished on this year so far, is my Versa board in the creeks this winter. And it was just a blast to go paddling around the creeks on that Versa board.
Cool.
I see the stand-up paddleboard market, being very much a niche market. I don't think it'll ever be as big as kayak fishing is. I could be totally wrong on that. I mean, honestly, I hope I am because it's a blast. I hope everybody tries it if they get a chance. But it's very specialized. And I know I hear a lot of people saying every day, I don't understand why anybody would want to stand on a surfboard and fish. I go, well, that's exactly what people were saying about kayaks 10 years ago. You know, when we started down here kayak fishing, everybody's like, why in the world would you ever want to do that? So, and then look at, it's mainstream now. Paddleboards may get there. I seriously doubt it, though.
And you're carrying Hobie Makes a Board and Liquid Logic now, or are they under Native?
Yeah, they're under Native. They're actually under both. We're stocking the Native. I don't know why. I just chose Native. Just they're more oriented in the fishing world. So to help brand Sun Jammers and stand-up paddleboard fishing, I decided to go with Native because they're more known in the fishing community versus Liquid Logic. Our favorite boards, it's hard for me to say, it's actually not a Hobie, it's actually a Bic Sport. Bic's been making stand-up paddle boards, or they've been making boards longer than almost anybody in the world. Right. It's a French-based company, and they do phenomenal work. They're super durable, they got bamboo inlays on the top deck, bottom deck, side rails. The craftsmanship's beautiful. They're priced right. They paddle great, but they really aren't designed, you know, for fishing. I mean, you can fish off of them, but they're more for that recreational paddler.
Cool. Get out there and play in the surf a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of our people are actually paddling, you know, inland waterways. The surf is a very, very small market of the stand-up paddleboard world, mainly because we don't get surf around here. Our surf's so choppy. Any of you that have tried to paddle in through the surf in a kayak know that Panama City Beach has very short, choppy waves. It'll pick you up and throw you over in a heartbeat.
A little beach break there, whip you around.
Absolutely.
Let me say hi to caller here, 757. Is that you, Rob?
Hey.
So.
Chip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Who is it?
It's Lozier.
Oh, hey, Mark. You're driving.
How are you doing?
All right, we're talking to Brad Stevens from Sunjammers.
Yeah, sorry, I just tuned in. I just was out to dinner with someone, so I tried to catch what was left of the show.
Okay. All right, I thought it was somebody there. I'm just going to say hi to you then. You want to talk or you want me to stick you on mute?
No, I'm good. You can mute me.
Okay. Push the number one button if you got a question, all right?
Right on.
All right. So Brad, where is Sunjammers? Let's tell some folks here. We've been talking here for about 20 minutes. So where are you at and how do they get in touch with you? You got a website, that kind of thing?
Yes, Sunjammers, Panama City Beach, Florida, online at sunjammers.com. The best way to communicate with us and find out what's going on, product availability, is actually our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/sunjammers. You can basically go to any social media site and do the name slash sunjammers. You know, we're on twitter.com/sunjammers, youtube.com/sunjammers, googleplus.com/sunjammers. So if it's a social media outlet, just look for Sunjammers, and we're probably going to be there. But Facebook is where we spend the majority of our time.
And I like the fact that you're up and at them in the morning. You're always up there with a little screen flash of the weather, current weather conditions, if you've got bait, that kind of thing. That's pretty awesome.
Every morning when I'm fortunate enough to have a wonderful view to wake up to on the bay. So if it's just one of those gorgeous sunrises, I'll snap a picture of that, share it with the world, and then, you know, give everybody the tides and what bait we have for the day. I try to do that every morning. I've been slacking here lately, but it's pretty consistent.
Yeah. No, that's cool. What's the kayak fishing tournament scene like around your neighborhood?
As far as our immediate neighborhood, it's non-existent. We got a new club that we can talk about here in a little bit, you know, that we're going to try to start getting some stuff going. But to our east and west, it's absolutely phenomenal. You know, we got Jeff Suber that does the FCKA tournament, basically in Tallahassee, a little town called Crawfordville. That's one of our favorite tournaments to sponsor. You know, I forget exactly how many people they had this year, but they had a slew of them. And then to our west in Pensacola, you know, you have the Gulf Coast Kayak Fishing Association. There's some smaller tournaments over there that we aren't overly involved with because they have a ton of local, local shop support. So we, you know, we just kind of leave it, you know, to that local shop. And we are huge on shopping local. You know, if there's a local shop that you can physically walk into and talk to somebody, please do not order anything online. If you have a store that is willing to talk to you and work with you, if you don't, you know, call us. We'll be more than happy to take care of you. Don't get us wrong, but we're huge on the local scene.
That's why we do Kayak Fishing Radio. We like to know the locals. So what's the local group there? Tell us about them.
It's the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association. it's relatively a young group. You know, we're a year or so into it. Captain Linda Cabot, who you spoke of earlier, actually started it. And you can do a Facebook search for PCKFA, and that pops up. It's basically a Facebook group. We were having some meetings for a while. Linda was running them. Linda has small kids like I do. Our time, you know, it's hard for us to organize a lot of stuff. So we've kind of brought in some help from within the club, and you know, we have somebody else that's going to start doing the meeting side of things for us, and you know, organizing some get-togethers and stuff like that. Just a group of people that just get together, just like y'all. We're just fortunate all to live in the same town and go fishing. What really surprised me was the groups within the groups within the group that formed. You got a little group of people that fly fish at the meetings. They all kind of get together and show each other flies and chit chat. You know, then you have the techie people that talk about their iPhones and their Macs of it, you know. So it's just it's a cool group of people, and everybody's extremely knowledgeable in their own aspect of it. Everybody's always like, we need outside speakers to talk. And I'm like, our knowledge base within our own club, if we can just figure out a way to harness it, is as good or better than any outside speaker we could ever bring in. But we do get some cool speakers. Cherry McBride seems to like to vacation in this area, so he's up here two or three times a year. Jerry's with DOA. So we try to get him to talk whenever we can. Yeah, Jerry's awesome. In fact, one of my favorite videos, Cheryl Little, who's has a local fishing TV show here, you can do a YouTube search for the Redfish Ranger. She produces some phenomenal kayak fishing videos. She is my favorite YouTube channel to subscribe to. So that, you know, our club, we hope to pull a tournament off the next year or so. We'll see if that happens. Time is precious with all the club members. We need somebody that's nice and retired to move here that wants to step up to the plate and take our club to the next level. So if anybody wants to retire, it's hard. We have as good a fishing as anywhere in the country, I feel.
I got about five more years, man. I'll consider putting in my resume for the job. So
come on down. It pays like crazy.
I love the Gulf Coast. That's my favorite fishing area. And the Panhandle of Florida is it's absolutely incredible fishing. And if folks look at the bathymetric, you know, stuff that comes up right under Panama City, there's like a trench that comes from deep water and boils up right out there, right offshore of Panama City. And that's why you see guys catching the pelagics, the sailfish and stuff like that. It's not a big secret. All you got to do is look at the map and you'll figure out why there's such good fishing right there.
Yeah, and the pelagics are something that's relatively new for our area for some reason. The last three or four years, those sailfish, we've been catching sailfish. They were catching them off the piers. You know, they're catching them out of kayaks. And, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, that wasn't happening. I don't know if it's because more people are fishing, you know, and looking for them. But it's just something's kind of changed, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Our fishing has gotten better in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. The last three for sure. It was 3 or 4 years ago. I think there were 17 or 18 good-sized sailfish hooked, caught, and released out of kayaks in this general area. That's as good as anywhere in my book.
Hmm.
You know, outside of, you know, going down to the Keys, you know, somewhere where they just have massive numbers of sailfish everywhere. As far as the northern Gulf Coast, we're pretty proud of it.
Seen any blackfin?
They don't quite come in. They come in every once in a while, but that's nothing you're really going to be able to target out of kayaks.
Yeah.
They stay about that 30, 40-mile mark. We target them in the power boats. I'm fortunate enough to run offshore on a semi-regular basis on a sport fish and, you know, and fish for stuff like that. But, you know, they do get in close. I mean, don't get me wrong. They do see them. They do catch them, but it's not a consistent fishery.
Yeah, I've caught an odd one every now and then when I was in Pensacola, but
yeah.
It was very rare.
No. Yep.
But
and so, then our inshore fishing is, you know, trout and redfish. We don't have the huge numbers of fish here, but, you know, compared to somewhere like Louisiana, or we don't have the big trout like Texas, but as far as an overall fishery, it's pretty solid. We can go out and get bit most any day.
Are you guys seeing any scallops?
We're seeing a few, you know, here behind my house on the bay. I think I personally saw probably 50 or 60 last year. When I grew up here, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was scalloping quite a bit, there were scallops everywhere. We pick up, 5 gallon buckets full of them, and something happened. They basically just disappeared. But we have some local groups here that have been working on reestablishing our shellfish population, or scallop population, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to come back. But you can go about an hour and a half east of here to St. Joe. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think that's the scallop capital of the world.
St. Joe's Hatchy there.
Yeah, you get St. Joe out there on the Cape San Blas Peninsula. There's a place called Black's Island. You get out there and you're anchored up around Black's Island, and there's scallops everywhere.
Awesome.
And the fishing over there right now is phenomenal. Hank, that works in the shop, just got done. His church group went over there and camped at the primitive campsites for like 3 or 4 nights, and they just wore the speckled trout out the whole time they were out there, and good sized trout, 20-plus inch trout consistently.
Cool. What's biting out in your way now?
Just north of us, in West Bay, which is, I say north of us, north of the shop by about 5 minutes, trout and reds are on the flats, kind of where they sit all summer long, kind of just moving in and out with the tides and depth of the water. The majority of them never really pushed back in the creeks this winter like they normally do. Our winter fishing here was hard to predict because it never really got cold for any length of time. But you can go up there and see a school, 10 or 15 redfish almost every day. They're in that shallow water, they're tailing their backs out of the water. It's a beautiful sight to see. If you've never seen it, come on down. We'll point you in the right direction.
And how's access? I know a lot of what folks see on Facebook, is Linda and them getting out off of the beach, of course. But as far as the inshore areas, how's access?
It's pretty limited. We have a tons of waterfront developments that have really hindered our access to the water, pretty much all coastal places the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Burnt Mill Creek, people get tired of hearing me talk about Burnt Mill Creek north of the shop, but it's just such an easy place to launch. That our county has a little park there with picnic tables and a concrete boat ramp with a dock for the power boats, a little sandy, gravelly, carpeted junk area that kayakers use. It's a interstate straight out to the bay, and just some really good fishing, and it's wide open enough. You can go out there. You don't have to see anybody if you don't want to. I have friends, good friend of mine, Captain Joe Hebert from Clearwater, Florida, has a little bait company called Fish on Lures. He produces the SS Minnow. When he comes up here shooting commercials and TV shows, he's like, oh, we're kind of getting close to that boat. He's like, are you kidding me? They're a quarter mile away. I was like, yeah. He said, if we were down fishing Tampa Bay, where I fish, you're trying to have a cast over each other. So people are really impressed with the vast, just the acres of open water up here. Whether you're in a boat or a kayak, it's just wide open.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we've been going here for about 3/4 of an hour, and now I'm sure we could spend a lot more time. So I want to make sure before we do anything else that, you're welcome anytime on any of the shows during the week. I know you were online listening to the Losers when they had Woody from Native on board, and they do a great job with that. And our other hosts would certainly welcome you to just call in anytime. And the same with the folks from the Panama City Kayak Fishing Group. I mean, if you guys are doing a show or something like that, or doing a meeting or something, and you want to broadcast it, just let us know. We'll support that with Kayak Fishing Radio. And that way, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate that for sure.
And you got Wi-Fi in your shop? Of course you do, because you're always on the internet.
Yeah, we got Wi-Fi. I actually have two Wi-Fis. I have our closed system that we run, all of our computers on. We have a couple computers to check people out front and back of the office and stuff. And then if you ever pull up, it's just called Sunjammer's Guest Network. It's an open pass, we don't have it dumbed down for speed or anything. It's a full-fledged network. We have people, bring their laptops in. We have some locals that they'll go down to Winn-Dixie, which is a grocery store right down the road, and they'll get a lunch, and they'll come up there with their laptop, and they'll sit on the back counter and to sit there and play with us and eat lunch and go back to work. It's a real laid-back environment.
Cool.
We definitely have Wi-Fi. What a
boondoggle is?
What is?
Our boondoggles.
No, I sure don't.
Haven't heard of the boondoggle. Okay. All right. So, Kayak Fishing Radio and YakAngler.com on President's Day weekend a year ago, we decided, we kind of put a pin in the map and said, hey, we're all going to show up here and go fishing. And that one just happened to be
at
Little Talbot Island over in Jacksonville. We had a couple dozen folks show up then. And then next time we went, we were over at the Goon, or we were down in Tampa. And just most recently, we were down in Chokoloskee, Florida. And we had 55 people show up for our Saturday night low country boil and stuff. So I'm thinking that Panama City needs to be a boondoggle location. You have some place that would support it, like a campground or something like that, local?
Our campgrounds here are pretty scarce, but we can we can definitely find something. Especially if y'all like the primitive camping and stuff. St. Andrew State Park is on Grand Lagoon, right. And they have the jetties. You can walk out on there, and catch in the fall. The bull reds are right in there. Stuff can go out there and catch, 38, 45 inch redfish, multiple times a morning. And there's good trout and red fishing right there, and they have campgrounds. Problem is, they stay booked almost 12 months out of the year. It's a hot spot, and that's pretty much our only camping spot. There's some RV places and stuff, but all that's details. We can always work that kind of stuff out for you. Not a problem.
Cool. We do some.
You got to remember.
We do little mini boondoggles too, and I think there's a few folks. I see Scott there in the chat room. Mitchell Dorsey, he's from Jacksonville, and there's a couple of other ones that we've been thinking about doing a couple of spots this summer, but. I think my son might be going to the little summer camp over there at Pensacola, so maybe we'll drop him off there and then come on down over to Panama City and hang out with you guys and fish for a while.
Yeah, and we have a ton of resorts. You got to remember, we are the spring break capital of the world, so getting a motel room in this town is not hard.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have a great relationship with a bunch of resorts. So we can get, high-end resorts, low-end resorts. We can put some people up. That's not a problem.
Friends in low places. It's beautiful, man.
Absolutely. The first place that pops to mind, a place called the Sandpiper Beacon Resort. Google it. It's the fun place to be for sure. Bars around every corner, beachfront, and good fishing right out from it.
Well, in our next boondoggle, and if you got the time off, which I know – that was one question I did want to ask you. How much time do you get to fish, man?
You can't – don't blow my reputation here. I work entirely too much. I fish quite a bit in the off-season.
Yeah.
This year, we just did a massive remodel of the store. We almost tripled the size of our store with connecting a couple buildings that were on the property. So that really cut into my fishing. But typically, November, December, and January and February is when I fish when it's slow. But, thanks to people like y'all, we never slowed down this year.
Cool.
On top of our remodel, we peaked June and July with traffic, and then our August, kind of plateaued, and then it just started going back up from there. We're the most blessed kayak shop in the country, I think. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome, and we are definitely supporters of the local shop, and shops like yours that we try to find that we center around a boondoggle, so... Our next boondoggle, by the way, is October 5th through the 8th, the major boondoggle at least, is going to be on Columbus Day weekend, and we're going to visit Virginia Beach and be up there with Mark Wheeler and the Loziers at First Landing State Park. I think a bunch of folks have already got cabins set up, some camping spots and stuff like that, so... Chad Hoover is going to join us. We're going to have Kayak Kevin show up, I think, one day, maybe more than that. But Rob Choi and some of the other folks that you see on there. Chris is saying, hit the button here. I got to find it here. I wasn't tuned up to play a lot of music. Here we go.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
All right. Well, Brad, hey, man, we appreciate having you on tonight. And like I said, anytime, and I'm going to bother you to come back sometime too. So
Please do.
If you do it voluntarily, we'll drag you in kicking and screaming. How's that?
Absolutely. Just everybody, just go find us on Facebook. We love to see pictures from all over the entire country, especially you bass guys. We need pictures of kayak and bass on our Facebook page to help us get a local buzz going about kayak bass fishing. It's unheard of in the Florida Panhandle right now.
And Wheeler, you can catch some bass for him. He's been listening in the background there.
I can definitely do that. As long as he's willing to pay for the flight down there, I'll catch all the bass off the Panhandle all he wants.
We do have direct Southwest flights, and the planes land 5 minutes from the shop and 3 minutes from fishing. It's phenomenal.
All right, that sounds great.
Really? Well, if you had Jackson's, I'd be all about it.
Actually, we had four Kuskas in the parking lot today, so we got Jackson's down here.
See?
All right, then.
All these guys are Cuda heads, man. I got my native in my lawn chair. I'm happy. So. All right. Thanks again, Brad. Join us anytime. We're going to call it a night. And you guys keep doing what you're doing down there at Sunjammers. And folks, if you need a place, you got a question about kayaks or something, you're in the Panhandle of Florida, Brad Stevens, Sunjammer, he's the guy to see. Thanks again, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you next time, Wednesday nights. I'm on Thursdays. The Loziers will be kicking back again. And, Chris says you offering a pickup over at the airport.
Yeah, come on. We almost have the flight schedules memorized. We pick up people all the time.
All right, man. All right, it's been fun. And we'll see you next week. And we'll be out. Tight lines. Take a kid fishing. All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks again, Brad.
Thank you.